Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message, Which Way Will You Choose? And we have been looking at an incident in Saul's life. He had been anointed king. And in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse 8. And he, that refers to Saul, tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. He was beginning to be fearful. He was concerned. Perhaps he was not showing the strength the military leader should have at that point. Whatever the excuses, whatever the thoughts were, he forced himself, it says a few verses later, but Saul, it says in verse 9, Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. The problem was he was going expressly against the instructions that the prophet Samuel had given him. He was told to go to Gilgal, and then he was to wait until Samuel came to instruct him further. But out of various feelings, whether it was fear, whether it's feeling of that he was being inadequate as a military commander, he did what he should not have done. And verse 10 says, "And it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him." And of course, Samuel sees what has happened. He said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from thee, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Well, that sounds reasonable to the carnal man, if you will. But Samuel, in verse 13, says to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And of course, we know that person was David, a man after God's own heart. And so perhaps one of the saddest and the most melancholy feature of Saul's attempt to justify himself, as he attempted to do, he gave sound reasoning, he thought, to Samuel, is that there is no sign of repentance. After Samuel's solemn warning, he proceeds to number the people. That's in verse 15. And this is just after verse 14. Your kingdom was not going to continue. It says, "Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men." And so when anyone discovers that they have sinned, that they've blundered, they've failed, they've disobeyed, there's only one way back to God's favor and fellowship, and that is by genuine repentance and confession. If you can remember and recall that incident in David's life, the incident of Uriah and Bathsheba, and he just went on as if it was all sort of undercover. But when Nathan the prophet came to him and gave him that parable, and he says, "Thou art the man," without hesitation, David said, "I have sinned." And he repented, and he began to, he went into fasting and prayer, hoping that the child born of that union would be spared. Of course, that was not to be. God would not allow it. But David did repent. So the loss of Saul was deplorable. Saul's turned away from the Lord, and now the Lord seeks another man after his own heart, an instrument more willing to abide in his hand for the working out of his purposes concerning Israel. And so all of Saul's reasoning and planning and intentions that actually were evil would not hinder the kingdom from coming to pass and be giving, having, was again, was going to be given to David. He couldn't hinder that any more than the sun setting, God's will. And beloved, one of the most wonderful things is God is going to have his will regardless of human failure. It is a solemn, heart-rendering thing to know that we may be earnestly keeping up the form of our service for God in the energy of the flesh, as Saul was attempting to do, when the spirit of power has departed from us. We must never forget that to choose our own way is to choose loss and defeat. Let me share another few more passages of Scripture with you, and I'd like to turn first of all to Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verse 19. And the word of the Lord says to the prophet, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord." Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. "They shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift a standard against him." And I'm going to pause right here because I know in the Spirit there's tremendous warfare against many of God's people. And let's go to the prayer, to the Lord right now for in prayer, asking his strength and his wisdom. Father, we learn from the admonition of Scripture. We understand you gave us these examples so that we might learn to walk in your ways and to seek your face and your wisdom and to be obedient to what you've asked us to do. And there are, Lord, many that are searching for guidance, for wisdom. And Lord, it's if we lean not to our own understanding, but we look to you, you will direct our paths, you will guide our steps. So Father, I release that wisdom, that guidance. I bind the work of the enemy, the warfare in fear and in confusion and in hindrance. And Father, I loose, because of the enemy of their souls, a plain path before their feet, that they shall walk in peace and in the strength of the Lord. I claim that, Father, in Jesus' name. And then there is another passage of Scripture I'd like to share with you, 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and verse 20, where, well, let me read verse 19. Paul says, "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." You see, God has a protocol for all things. And in verse 20, he says, "Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear." And remember that incident of Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Ghost? That brought fear to the hearts of believers, that we cannot lie to the Holy Ghost. We can't put on a front as they were attempting to do. But God judges our attitudes. He looks at our heart. Praise God. But as I bring this message to a close, I want us to be encouraged that because of what Jesus did, these are solemn examples for us, Uzziah and Saul, Ananias and Sapphira. That was New Testament. But because of the coming of Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice and his resurrection, before he died, Jesus said, "It is finished." He paid it all. He covered our sin for those that will believe in him, and we have been saved to the uttermost. Praise God. I want to share some beautiful passages found in Hebrews, and let me start at verse 15. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. He's speaking of the days in which we're living, the latter days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God, if that isn't a promise to give us peace and joy and strength to press on and carry on no matter what the battles are. Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Listen to this, beloved. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Praise God. Beloved, we looked at Old Testament examples, and there was a protocol. There was a punishment for disobedience, but blessing for obedience. But beloved, because of what Jesus did, remember when he died, that great veil of the temple was torn in two. It was extremely thick, and it was torn from top to bottom. Well, Jesus, he with his flesh, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, because he has consecrated a new and living way for you and me, beloved, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And because of that, we can walk in peace, in joy, and in confidence, not only because of his suffering on the cross to atone for our sins, but because of his resurrection, a foretaste of that eternal life which we shall share with him. Death, where is its victory? Where is its sting? He's conquered death. The unveiled Christ, having torn the veil of his flesh, has been revealed to our hearts as the glorious Savior, the glorious Redeemer, and our soon coming King. Praise God. We love you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.